before we get into the formal portion of our presentation this morning, I want to tell you folk that right here on the campus of Valley Grande Academy and here in this South Texas Conference camp meeting, that in the last 12 hours, we have been in battle against satanic forces. Anytime that we think that the devil has died, or that he's operating only out there in the wilds of Borneo, your eyes just have not yet been opened, because he's busy. And I believe with all my heart that he's making a concerted effort to destroy Adventist people, to destroy Adventist youth. The thing that he fears the most is that we will begin to recognize what he's doing and that we will come out and confront him. The servant of the Lord has said that we need to learn how to attack Satan and take his strongholds. The thing that frightens demonic force is that we take the initiative, that we don't stand around and let them run over the top of us. And they don't understand when we take the initiative in this battle and we attack them, it's something that's so rare that they don't understand it. Now, with the permission of the folk involved, I think that it might be faith-confirming to those of you who are not involved to have perhaps a little word of testimony from some of the people who were. And I was just wondering, Bob, if you would mind slipping up here for a moment. I hadn't told Bob about this, but I have talked to some of the other folk that were involved. Elder Robert Wood is Executive Secretary of the Texas Conference, and I know you don't have any prepared speech, Bob, but the battle was on for about 3 hours or more when we invited some of the folk that were over at the tent in the camp meeting session to come over, and among them was Elder Wood. Now, I don't know what you'd have to say, Bob, to these folk about what you experienced.
Well, I was very much impressed last night when I went over with the power of God and with the promises of Jesus that were fulfilled on the spot, Elder Hoffman. When the enemy was certainly met head on, and I was impressed with the power that the Word of God had. When Elder Hoffman opened the Bible there, it was very obvious that the evil forces shuddered, and the Word of God has power. Amen. And when there was prayer around the circle as prayer, we could hear direct, immediate responses to requests in prayer. When one of the brothers prayed, "Dear Lord, send more angels," I thought of Sister White's promises that the angels of heaven will come in great number and surround God's children at a time when there's great danger and special need. And we knew immediately that the evil there recognized that those angels were on hand. There were responses. Amen. And I was especially impressed with the reactions of this young woman. The resistance on the part of the satanic forces there within her body, resisting so much the requests from heaven to have them expelled and to be away from this young woman's life. And then when Elder Hoffman asked directly to the enemy, "Oh, you were present," he said, "at the cross, weren't you?" And that answer that came with the voice there with so much feeling in this. Obviously, it wasn't that little girl, that tender young person speaking. Saying, "Yes." You know, it was a horrible type of a response. He said, "You saw the love that was there on the part of that one in the middle cross." And they had to answer, "Yes." And there's no question in my mind but that the Holy Spirit came there last night and God gave special help. And I know that he wants us to be armed with humility, but armed with his power when we meet the cruel enemy that would try to destroy a young person like this forever. And the enemy there in her life had been the devil who had tried to get her to lose her life, to take her own life, and the struggle that went on. And yet God's mighty power makes me thankful today and grateful that I could have had a part of Ariel Hoffman and be present. He gives me faith and trust and love for the great God who surrounds us with his care, who sends his angels, who gives us these promises, and I want to stay very near to him, and I want to be his servant.
Amen. It has been the experience of all of us that have the Lord has involved in this ministry, that our lives are never the same. Our lives just change. We see how wicked these entities are. We just run to the Lord Jesus as fast as we can go, because we know he's the gentle shepherd. Now, I'd like to invite David Allen Chamberlain to come up here quickly. Brother Chamberlain is the basic science teacher here on Valley Grande Academy campus, and at his request, I went over and talked to a group of young people yesterday afternoon for about an hour and a quarter, and it was after that class session was over that he introduced me to this young lady. We had only talked together a few moments, and I suggested that before we break up and separate, it was entirely very casual on our part, wasn't it, that we should pray together. And we slipped into the chemical storage room, which is immediately adjacent to the office, because the office has a large plate glass window, making it pretty much of a birdcage as far as knowing what's going on is concerned. We slipped into the storage room, and we prayed. I prayed for her, and then I spoke to the demonic powers that were there, and I called them to attention, and I told them that I was going to give them certain orders in the name of the Lord, that they were to leave this young lady alone. And I hadn't even said amen. I hadn't said amen before they were there and manifesting themselves. And we had not planned to have any full-scale battle at all, because that really wasn't on our time schedule. Our time schedule got blown to pieces yesterday. But we operate flexibly enough that we're going to let God set the schedule. And all of us have to do that. We need to let God take our time and utilize our time in his plan. And we did that. And now, Brother Chamberlain, give us your impressions of what the Lord did yesterday.
I have a lot of impressions from yesterday. I'd like to thank the Lord for helping to crystallize my Christian experience, because certainly something like that does, and I would hope that most of you will eventually have a chance to see something like that. As he said, this young lady came and talked to me before, and we were back there in the room, and we weren't ready for this at all, because there's a small table in my storage room, and there was a lot of stuff on it, and we were talking to her, and then she went into that, I don't know what you want to call it.
Well, it's what we'd call a demonic seizure.
A seizure. And we were praying with her for about 10 minutes there, and she was kind of halfway on a stool, and I said, well, maybe we better lay her down. So I quickly cleared all the stuff that was on the table off, and we laid her on the table. And then I really saw what the devil was like, because then Elder Hoffman asked one of them to give his name. And we went through a whole series of different demons and their names. And this is the list I wrote last night. I'm always going to keep this as a reminder. The ones that we talked to were fear, depression, suicide, sadness, loneliness, anger, hate, persecution, jealousy, rebellion, rejection, guilt, and resentment. It's a sad thing to think that something like this was in a young woman, how much torture she was in because of these demons. And it's almost impossible to believe, you know, what it's really like unless you see it, because as these demons, as we talk to them and ask them to say their name, you can see that emotion on their face. It's like a caricature of that emotion. It's just a very broad, you can see that emotion right there. I mean, there's no doubt in your mind at all that you're talking to that. And that thing would talk to us, and it would point its finger at Elder Hoffman and say, "I hate you," and just like that. And it's amazing, though, for one thing, I wasn't afraid except for one point. Something happened at one point. But, I mean, this demon would turn and look right at me and tell me that it hated me. And I said, "Well, I'm not too hot about you either." And the thing would just thrash around. It just, they act like children. They really do. They remind you of children. And I was amazed that they're so wrapped up in this one thing they're trying to do that they'll give you a lot of clues of how to beat them. You know, they'll lie to you so much, or they'll... the one we had a lot of problem with was suicide, because it kept trying to kill her last night. I mean, physically kill her. And so we would try to evict that devil, demon, and it would, all of a sudden, it would try to trick us. It would calm down. And then I would had a hold of her one hand, her left hand, and I would just let go of it so that it couldn't feel me holding on his hand. And just the second I would do that, it would just immediately reach up and try to grab its face and scratch its face. And if I wouldn't hold its shoulders, a lot of times I had to be right there with my head on hers, just to hold her down, because it would raise it up and just try to bang her head down as hard as it could on the table. And the one time that it scared me, I remember when it turned off the lights. We were standing there and praying, and we were talking to, it happened a couple times, the first time was worse. We were talking, it was just the two of us, Elder Hoffman and myself together, and we were talking to, I believe it was Hate. Hate's a bad one. It really is a bad one. And as we were talking to it, the lights went out, and you heard this most horrible, hideous laugh. It really enjoyed that, because it knew I was afraid for that moment, but only for a second. And then the Lord, because I would normally think I'd be afraid. Anybody would be afraid, you know, of a demon talking to you, but I wasn't.
Amen.
The Lord gave me the strength not to be afraid. And when you get into this situation, which I hope you will, you're not going to be afraid either. You're not going to be afraid.
Amen.
But you also must remember that they're not as easy as you might think to get rid of. These devils and this young lady were deeply bound. I mean, they're in there strong, and we really had to struggle. It was not easy. You have to, it's almost like an emotional breakdown of this demon. You have to break them down before they'll leave. You can command them in the name of Jesus, but if that demon has legal ground of being there, you have to remove that ground first. And it may take hours to do that. It's no two-minute process. It's a very in-depth, very detailed process. And I can see what he means. There's no detailed way of being able to list out how to do it. You can't do it that way. You have to be flexible and see what the situation demands. And you have to follow what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. And that's the only way we knew what to do, is because he would come up with certain things and say, "This is the problem." And I knew it was the Holy Spirit telling him that was the problem, because we could not get rid of certain demons until the Holy Spirit revealed to one of us there what the problem was. Then we could overcome that problem and then reject the demon. So it's an involved process, and it's not easy. But with the grace of God, and we knew the Holy Spirit was there, we won.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Chamberlain. And as a man of science, you know, people of science have the feeling if you can't put it under a microscope or put it in a test tube that it doesn't exist. But it exists, believe me. But it's true, there's no fear. The Lord said, "I have given you power over all devils, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." All the powers of the enemy. I was a little bit apprehensive the first time that I ever went into battle, but since then, my trust in the Lord has gone right through the atmosphere, and I know that He cares for me. And I'm not worried about Him. As long as I keep my life in His hand and in harmony with His will, we have nothing to fear. Keith, I wonder if you'd come up for a moment. Now, Keith Hassinger is an ordained minister here in the Texas Conference, and he has trained to become a doctor and will soon be practicing medicine in the state of Texas. And I know that as a man of medicine, as well as a man of the ministry, Keith, that you'll have some observations for us.
Well, Elder Hoffman, again, I appreciate having had the experience, and as I suppose everyone that speaks to you that has been involved, hating to be repetitious, but it does change your life. We as ministers find ourselves at some time or another having anointed people that are sick with oil. Well, I'll never do that again without realizing the power of God that is really there. Brethren, it's there. It's tremendous. The devils can't take it. They squirm, and there was a whimpering of the demons last evening when we called upon the name of Christ. And I think especially at the time when Elder Hoffman asked them if they were there at the cross. And I couldn't help but think at that time the agony that that fallen angel was going through. No doubt will be the same agony that those have that are lost, that same whimpering, and it sobers you. As I stood there last night watching the throes, physical throes, that the demons put that young lady through, I was wondering physiologically exactly what was going on inside of this young lady. They had been in battle over her body for over 6 hours, and several times, and I'm sure it was unbeknownst to you, Elder Hoffman, I took that young lady's pulse as she was going through these things. And she was many times doing what in medicine we call a Valsalva maneuver, which affects the heart rate normally. And this is like if you will hold your breath and put a lot of pressure from your abdomen like this with her mouth open, and it's a grunt that doesn't come. And with the tremendous physical activity of the dry retching that she would do, the heavy breathing, I was astounded that the heart rate was not very fast. Because physically, if you and I go through these type of motions, it's going to send our heart rate. Her heart rate varied quite a bit more than normal, but it did not race to 100, 120, as one might think. Yes,
something that's pertinent to that, too, is that, I don't know if you know it, but she has a heart murmur, prolapsed mitral valve, and so it had to be the Lord keeping her alive last night. Under a stressful condition like that, she could have had a heart attack.
I didn't know that.
She does have.
Very interesting. And there was a lot of hyperventilation. Hyperventilation is when you're breathing fast and deep. Now, I can remember in school as a young person that the kids used to make themselves faint. They'd have somebody stand by, see some of you looking, and you just breathe fast and deep, and you get lightheaded, and you pass out. The amount of hyperventilation that this young lady did last night should have affected her that way, and it did not. It is...
The call came several times to ask God to protect her, and that prayer was obvious. The prayer was answered right there before her eyes. You know, when the devil would do his effort there to hurt her some way or another, then the prayer would go to heaven to protect her, and it was an instantaneous answer. You know, we saw that again and again.
Yes, very correct. And I'd like to say also, as you brethren and sisters sit here, I know what you may be thinking, although you believe it, because I was here yesterday morning and I hadn't experienced it. And I kind of relate it to I had not grown up in the church, and when I heard about that the Seventh-day Adventist Church had a prophet, well, I wasn't very sure. I accepted it, but I really couldn't believe it until I got into it and I really began to understand. And you can hear it with words, and you can say, yes, I believe in demons, but no doubt you still have a little question mark, and some of you a larger question mark. And by my testimony this morning, there is no doubt that there is a devil, and that he is working for your destruction and mine. But praise the Lord, we've got a God that cares, and he sent his angels that are more powerful than theirs. And I guess I, as I went in and initially watched what was going on before I entered in and took part, I had nebulous thoughts running through my mind, wondering exactly what was happening and why, what was causing this. And I came to realization all of this torment, number one, was not happening to her, but was happening to the demons. And number two, it was all from words. Nothing physical was going on. There was no hurting of this young lady whatsoever. Just the word would be spoken in the name of Christ when the oil of anointment was placed upon her forehead and the word spoken in the Lord's name, they would writhe. And there was one point where after we had been dealing with both hate and suicide for some time, that Elder Hoffman informed us he had had this experience before, they got tired. And they sent another demon to cover for them, those two being the co-battalion chiefs, commanders, and they, fear was sent. And if you folk have ever seen anybody afraid, you can see fear in a person's eyes, right? And her eyes had been closed almost the whole time, and her eyes opened. And they opened fairly wide, and Elder Hoffman asked Miss Bailey, Brother Chamberlain, are these her eyes? Is this what her eyes usually look like? And they said, no. And surely enough, and I had noticed this before you asked the question, her eyes were dilated. The pupils, dilated means getting larger. When you look at a light, what happens to the pupils?
They contract.
They get smaller. Her eyes were wide open. The eyelids were not blinking as frequently as they should to keep the eyeballs moist. And they were looking directly up at the soft fluorescent bulbs, and they stayed dilated, which again is not normal. And you can see the fear in her eyes, and someone told her to close her eyes, and she could not close her eyes. The eyes only opened wider at that point and the eyelids became very fixed. And there was a very glassy stare of fear that was not able to be misinterpreted for what it was. And Elder Hoffman, recognizing it, said, fear, I command you to go back into the ranks. You go back into the ranks, you have no business here. And her eyes slowly came closed. And I'm just thankful that we serve a living God with that power.
And the expression of fear left her face when he went back to the ranks. Well, it's true that what we're looking at here is the externalization of the fear and of the emotions of the demonic force that was inside. And this is externalized. And the whimpering and all of this was the demonic whimper.
That one other thing I wanted to take note of is that all of this activity came from the waist up. Nobody held her legs. Nobody held her waist. Her legs were perfectly silent. If this had been a physical problem with her, her legs would have been involved. The only time where there was a quivering of the legs and everything was the times when I believe the demons were releasing some of their strongholds that they had on this young lady.
Well, we're glad we had a doctor in the crowd, you know, to make observations. These are observations, Keith, that I wouldn't make because I'm looking at these matters from a different point of view.
One other thing, Elder Hoffman, for the group here, that I'd like to mention that I thought was noteworthy. After she came through and was completely relaxed and she realized it had been a long confrontation, battle that had gone on, Elder Hoffman asked her what she remembered and how this had come to her attention, her observation. She said, I was watching it. And I guess that's true, probably, Elder Hoffman, of each encounter like this, is it?
That's true. The person for whom we pray is really in an objective position. They are in a sense, off to one side looking through a window and are fully aware of everything that's taking place. And they hear everything and are aware of everything, but actually have no personal involvement in it. And I think all of you will testify that these demons spoke to her of her in the third tense. The demon suicide kept screaming, I'll kill her, I'll kill her. And so that they were in the I position and she was in the her position. And so the verbalization was extremely, extremely relevant, that we knew that we're not dealing with the girl. Couldn't we say that this would be impossible to stage? This just could not be staged. Yes, Elder Ray Turner has a question. Oh, we didn't. No, we stayed in the storage room. We just cleared this storage table and put her on top of the table in the storage room. Right. They were there. Now, there was a young man yesterday in our classroom situation where I was discussing at least the theory. But you don't really understand the theory till you've seen the practice. And I wonder, Sean, would you mind come up here for just a moment? And did I pronounce your name right? There was a young man in the classroom, and he's coming up. And come right over here, Sean. I don't know. For some reason or another, Sean was on my right hand, and I felt impressed with his attitude toward the things that we were discussing yesterday. I felt impressed. And along into the battle, about several hours into the battle, we were needing help because Brother Chamberlain and I were getting pretty well exhausted. And I slipped over and I saw a light in a doorway, and I went over there and I found out it was a study hall. And Sean Stevenson was in the far remote corner of the study hall, and I left. And then I thought about it that maybe I better go back and get him and ask him to come over and give us some help. Because you know how these young people are about their peers. What one of their peers says has 10 times the weight of evidence, because we're too old to know anything, you know. And so Sean came over, and I'm wondering, Sean, if you had something you'd like to say.
Just, I couldn't, when I first came, I saw it, and I could just stand there. But my first prayer, I just said a small prayer, and the peace that was there, I never known the Holy Spirit to be so strong in my life. I mean, he filled the room, when I walked into the room, I felt something. There was a feeling there about the room, you know, when I saw that and everything. And when I prayed for the Holy Spirit to be there, he came in. I felt him come into me and give me a peace. I was not scared. Like Mr. Chamberlain said, there was no fear, and the demon reacted to every time you said the name of Jesus Christ, the demon would react. And I'm not saying I'm a muscle man, but I'm stronger than the girl. I had both hands on one of her arms, and suicide, he would grip a hand with fingers and try to scratch the eyes and stuff. It would pick me up sometimes and pull me over there, one arm. And I had both arms on my weight, and it just had me, you know, totally taken. My breath was away sometimes, and just the fear was there at times, but then you realize the Holy Spirit's there, it's not you. And sometimes I felt, why, how can I be here? But then the prayer was said, it's not me, it's Jesus has died for me, and my sins are covered by his righteousness. And so that gave me the right to be there for Jesus. And going back to the anointment, I just thought that was, you know, something that it was a practice. But as soon as he would get and go just like this, before he'd even touch the demon, it would just quiver and just moan. It would, the cry that it let out was unreal. It was just it was from deep down, and it was a whine, and I'd never heard anything like it. And it wasn't the voice of the person there. It was, you could tell it came from somewhere far, you know, just out of our reach. And as soon as the anointment, oh yeah, and he was telling, was it anger? You were telling to confess that you'd lost. It was one of the demons. Confess that you've lost. You've lost the battle. Go ahead and confess it. And it would say, no. And then finally, then he got he said, I'm going to read to you out of the Word of God. And that demon just, oh, you know, whenever you mention the Word of God, the Bible has strength that I've never realized. And he got the ointment ready to put on here, and no. And then when he did it, he goes, I confess. You know, just like as if, please stop, I confess, you know. He goes, okay, now you'll leave. And it started violent coughing or violent choking, and like as if it was coming out, you know, through the mouth. And it, sure enough, then there'd be a relax, and then another demon would come up. And like I said about one demon would take the place of other and give the other one a rest. It would happen. And fear is just, I've never seen fear on a face or in the eyes like that. Her eyes were wide open to me. They were just, you know, I'd never seen any eyes like that, staring right up in the light, you know, and not even affecting, like they said, the pupils or nothing. And it's just an experience that now I know I'm closer to Jesus Christ. And also, anytime you'd mention bringing in an ordained minister or bringing in someone else to see what the devil's really like, they wouldn't like that. They didn't want anybody to see at that state. They didn't want anybody. When they said, we're going to bring in, he goes, where's Paul Rouse? And the demon would just, whoa. And, you know, at the time, and he goes, let's bring Paul Rouse in here so he can see what the demon's really like. No, and started yelling. And anybody, anytime you mention bringing someone in to see what the demon's like as being, you know, he's there. He can't hide. And he knows he can't hide. He's no longer trickery. You know, he's there for people to really see, and he doesn't want that. He wants to be more deceiving, you can tell. And I praise the Lord that I got to see this. I know I'll be more strengthened, you know, spiritually. And I'm going to, and I even told the demon, I was talking to him when I first came, I go, now I've seen you. You've made the mistake. You've shown me you. And Mr. Chamberlain was talking too. He goes, see what you've done? Now you've shown him. He'll, and I go, I'll fight you with Jesus Christ at my side. I can resist you. And he just went crazy. He didn't like that at all, but that's too bad. I'm Jesus' is not his.
Amen. Thank you, Sean. Well, there's going to be a revival here at Valley Grande Academy. Indeed. Now, there's another one of our faculty members here, Arsenio Hernandez. Arsenio, would you slip up here? I don't know what classes, Arsenio, you're teaching, but what department are you in?
I teach Spanish and driver's ed and industrial arts.
All right, now give us your little testimony.
Well, I was invited to come in, and at first I really didn't want to go. I didn't know what to expect or anything like this. I went to Dave's door, and I knocked on the door, and nobody answered. I knocked again and nobody answered. So I said, good. So I started to walk away. And as soon as I started walking away, Dave came in. And of course, I went in the door. And believe me, I was afraid. I was afraid. But then I thought, well, the Lord is with me. And he was. When I came in there, and I saw her on the table there, she was going through all kinds of shaking and moving all over the place. And Dave said, I think he was talking to anger, I forgot what it was, hate. He said, hate? Here's Mr. Hernandez. Show him what you look like. No, no, no. And Dave said, but you're showing him what you look like. You hate me, don't you? This was Dave talking. And the demon said, yes, I hate you. And Dave, of course, answered back, I don't think too much of you either, you know. And the demon didn't like it. They didn't like it because it went to all kinds of noises and contortions and so on. But one thing that really impressed me was that we're talking to, I think it was anger this time, and Elder Hoffman said, I command you in the name of Jesus the Lord to go away. And actually didn't. At that time, the light was off. The moment that anger demon left, that light came on. And the light in the little storage room and in Dave's office are connected to the same switch. The light in the office was on. The one in the little room was off. But as soon as that demon left, that light came on.
Thank you. Yeah, there were a lot of things that didn't make sense, but they were all happening. Is that right? Now, Brother Chamberlain, he wanted to tell us something else that I think is very vital. I guess you're all aware that the angel Gabriel is the one who took the place of Lucifer. And when we have on a number of occasions, I hardly ever go into a battle that we don't ask for the angel Gabriel to come. When we get into a tight, I talk to the Lord. I say, Lord, if it's within the keeping of your will to send Gabriel here to help us. Would you kindly do that? And when he arrives, something begins to move, I tell you. We were in battle in New Orleans for a young man, and I asked the angel Gabriel to come, and the young man did like this. He went, "Ooh," and then he said, "Is he big?" Because we've oftentimes suggested to Demon, "Now, we have a friend by the name of Gabriel. Would you like to meet him?" And we don't get a very positive response on that one. Okay, Brother Chamberlain, about this.
Well, I found out we have some more friends. And we know we have a friend in Jesus, and that's for sure. But we have some other definite friends, and these are the angels. Because as we were getting tired, evidently so did the angels, because we'd ask for fresh angels, really. I think the first time we asked for 30,000 angels. And these were getting tired, so we asked for 50,000. And as soon as we asked for fresh angels, this demon would just go into agony again, because fresh angels were coming. And we have a special, special friend of all the angels, and that is Gabriel. He was there in the room with us last night. I know he was, because we asked for him. And we say, "Gabriel, would you bind this demon up?" And at that time, it would be thrashing around, and the thing would have to just lay still. And then we'd talk to that particular demon and try to get it to confess the name of Jesus. And we say, "Gabriel, take his arm and bend it." And that demon would writhe in agony. Then we'd say, "Gabriel, whatever's necessary, go ahead and do it." And that demon was in just terrible, terrible agony. We don't know what Gabriel was doing, but he certainly had an effect. And so right now in this room, I don't know if Gabriel's here. I appreciate it. Thank you. Because he really helped us out last night. He really did. And they're really there. They really are. And they helped us out. And without their strength, I don't know, we probably would have tired out. But I want to let you know that we really do have other friends out there. And those angels are there with us and helping us.
Amen. There's a statement from Ellen White that the angels are waiting for us to call upon them. And they are our friends. And they respond. And we don't get a period on a sentence before we see response. It's all done. Now, somebody had a question. Right. The laying on of hands is not just a formality that, well, they did it in the Bible days, but all of that disappears when we see that all of these modalities that God has given us are very real and not just a question of, well, do I have to? You know? Yes, Keith?
Hello, Hoffman. Just to clear up for some of the folk, maybe you could explain the difference between praying to the Lord for help and talking with the angels. Are you praying to the angels or are you talking with them?
Now the Lord taught us to pray our Father. But we have the right to talk with each other, don't we? And when I talk to Bob, I'm not praying to him, I'm talking with him. And we have the right to talk to angels. And they come to our rescue and they do a marvelous work. It is through the instrumentality of the angels that all of the work of healing miracles of the Lord Jesus was done through the instrumentality of the angels. And Ellen White states that it is by means of the angels that the Lord has his connections in between heaven and earth. And we must stress more in our ministry. We must stress more the ministry of the angels. But oftentimes the ministry of the angels has been, I know in my ministry, has been rather a silent topic because I haven't had the experience. Once you have the experience, then you realize how very important. I've been talking to my angel this morning. Before I drove out, before I left my hotel, I had a talk with my angel to take care of me. I talked with the Holy Spirit to come into me because the angels can't come in, but they can take care of me outside. But I ask the Holy Spirit to come into my heart and life, make all my words, all my feelings, and every action of my day. I ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to duplicate in me the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, his image, that I might be a Christian today, not through any works of my own,
but through the power of the indwelling Christ.
Hello, I'm Elder J. Reynolds Hoffman. I'd like to make a brief introduction to the testimonies that you are about to hear from a group of laymen of one of the Seventh-day Adventist churches in the Southwestern Union. These testimonies were given within an hour of coming out of a battle and confrontation against a demonic force. A university student was being molested. It was his last year of study, and he was studying to become a geological engineer, and he was being molested, and his work at the university was being interfered with. The pastor and I had prayed for him on two different occasions, and the Lord had heard and had granted our prayers. The pastor had said to me, "I'm going to follow the Lord's counsel, and I'm going to do more than preach. I'm going to do what our Lord said and what the apostles, the early apostles, did, that when I run into some demonic forces, I'm going to follow the Lord's command, and I'm going to cast them out in His name and in His power." As soon as he made this declaration that this was going to be a portion of his ministry, I felt that he needed some additional protection, especially the understanding of his church officers. I arranged for his church elders to be there as prayer support the next time that we would pray for this young man. I'd like to identify these men by their first name. Ed is a graduate of Andrews University and has a master's degree in social work from the University of Michigan. Ken is chief engineer at the White Sands Missile Range at Alamogordo, New Mexico. Marilyn is the wife of Roy. Roy is professor at the University of New Mexico. And Sam is a corporation president. Mary Olive is a housewife at Alamogordo. And now you're invited to listen to their testimony, first-hand witness of what they had seen the Lord do. In this latter day, when Satan is making an all-out and concerted effort to destroy the human family and to destroy the souls of men, you will hear their testimony that Jesus Christ is still Lord and Savior. Now, one of you folks, any one of you that was there tonight that would like to say a word or two? Or maybe I could ask some. Listen, come on up. Come on up here, Ed.
I'm 6 years of age, and I've been an Adventist since 1949.
Now, wait a minute. You say you're 60 years, and you've been an Adventist how long?
Since 1949.
1949. That's how many years?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out.
Well, 32 years? 32 years?
Mm-hmm.
What about it?
Well, tonight, I saw Jesus Christ have control over demons. The pastor would say, when he was trying to hurt this young man, he would say, "Stop that. Lay that foot down." He obeyed. He said, "Close your eyes." And he would close his eyes. And he would say, "Come up now." And they would come up. And they would fight. Just bitter. Grotesque. Just... Ask Ken. Ask any of them. They'll tell you. What about that, Marilyn? Isn't that right?
Marilyn, come up here. Come on up here. Thank you, Ed. You know, this is no exercise in psychology. This has become so obvious. Marilyn, now you turn around here. Tell me what happened.
Well, like I said, I've never seen anything like this before. And to see the Lord work
I don't think I'll ever be the same. I hope that I have learned something tonight. And people, this is real. We've heard so much about this, and I guess I had to see it. I don't know really if I had doubt at first. But to see this happen, and the voice that this talks in, I don't even know if I can sleep, but even the eyes, when you see the eyes, and you know that the demon is still there, and they would command him to lie back down, and they would check, and he'd still be there. The eyes, you'd have to see the eyes. I don't think I'll ever forget the eyes when he would open his eyes and look. What a stare he would have. And the smirk on his face, each demon had their own personality. And the way the face would be twisted until when they were talking. I tell you, it's something, really. And I just pray the Lord, I have the opportunity to see this. And I pray that we now can uphold the pastor to go forward in this ministry. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Wasn't that a beautiful testimony? Just tremendous, tremendous. The features of the face, the lips, the nose, the eyes, everything changes. Everything. Just, you hardly recognize a person. It's for real. Who else? Somebody else want to? Who? Here, come over here, Sam. You see, I tell you what, Sam, come over here and stand beside me. You know why? That it was my feeling that some of the leaders of this church should be involved, the people that you folk have confidence in, that you know they're not going to tell you a lie. If I alone told you, then you could say, well, I heard what he said, but, you know. But when we see some of the fine Christian leaders of this church as give testimony of what we're talking about. Now, Sam, what's your reaction?
Well, when I got there, I was a little apprehensive, too. Mainly, I was kind of worried about being in a room with demons. You know, it's kind of frightening when you think about it. But after the prayers and everything, and we actually heard the demons, and the one that was in charge expelled three others, and then he lied constantly, and he would pretend to go, but he wouldn't go. And it was so amazing to me that he could even sing the songs that we were singing, you know, and praising God and using this young man's vocal cords. But again, like Marilyn, the eyes, they were the eyes of a dead man. I guess that's the only way I can describe them. But the thing that was so fascinating to me was the fact that when we called on the angels and Jesus to come, that the battle would go on, and here this individual was lying on the floor, and his fingers and they look like claws. They would curl up, and then sometimes they'd be straight, and you could take your hand, and you couldn't move them. They were stiff, like rigor mortis had set in, like he was dead almost. And the same thing with his legs. You could take his legs and try to move them, and you couldn't. There was no power. You couldn't possibly push them together or anything. And it was marvelous, I guess. I don't know what else to say.
You're praising the Lord, Sam?
Amen.
All right. Would you like to hear another one? You want to hear on it? You want to? Okay. Ken, come on up here. Now, you folk ought to believe Ken. If you can't believe me, believe him. Because after all, you know him better than you do me. Hey, Ken, come on up here. Stand right over there, and I'll help you with the mic. Well, Ken, was this your first time?
Amen. As you all know, I'm very cautious, those of you that know me. Very conservative, and I was very, truthfully, skeptical. I just didn't, I had heard the tape. I'd heard your talk the other night. And I know there's demons, there's bound to be, but I just didn't, I was very scared, like Sam, I just, you know. But when you spent that length of time, just so that the demon would present itself, and always claiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those demons don't like that name, but you have to, I'm with the rest of them, you have to visually see this, and hear these different demons in voices that you know can't be possibly, you know, we know this individual, we know what his voice sounds like, and these are not, this, you know, these demons are not talking with the voice of this individual. They're using his voice box, all right, but some of the demons, for instance, are, they're all individual, even in the expression on the face. Believe me, folks, to see something like this should draw you very, very close to Jesus. And also, like the pastor says, I make it a practice to go to bed at night, and when I get up in the morning, to pray to Jesus that he'll protect me, take me through the day, take me through the night, and protect my family.
Amen.
That's going to mean a lot more now. It really is. Now, God wasn't a paper God to me, but in a way, maybe he was. But no more.
Amen.
Now, I just praise the Lord's name.
Amen. All right. Hey. Come on up here, Mary Ellen. Now, Mary Ellen wasn't in tonight's battle. She was in battle last, what, Sunday? All right. That's right. Your name, Mary Ellen, isn't it? Mary Olive, I'm sorry. Yeah, Mary Olive. All right, now you tell me what happened.
Well, it made me realize how weak we pray, how ineffective we ask for God's help, how dormant we are, because even the angels talked to this young lady and told them that he loved us, that Jesus loved us. And that was the first time I've ever heard Jesus speak to me. But we've got to learn to pray. We
Amen.
Cannot pray like we've been praying and have anything happen.
That's right.
It's just ineffective. Right. We're just like little children that's 9 months old that can't say a word.
That's right.
So Great. We need to learn to pray.
Amen. Does that sound like a Christian testimony? Does it sound like the Lord is in this? Absolutely he is. Now, boy, come on down. No, come on down. I want to see you. Yeah, he can. Don't you want him down here? You don't want to listen to him up there, do you? Now we all of us were watching the same thing. But praise the Lord, we were watching the power of Jesus. We are totally helpless. Now, Roy, what about you?
What about me? Well, I guess I'm like the rest of them. I think every one of us was sort of skeptical there, sort of fearful at first. I remember we were first starting out prayer, and there was a crackling noise in the fireplace, and my hair in the back of my neck just sort of stood up. But as time went by, and you could see the power of the Lord work, there was no fear left in the room. And I can guarantee you that on the last round of prayers there, there were five people there that were very much in unison. There was no skepticism left after that. That final round of prayers, I could just feel everybody just change. Everybody, their whole lives just changed just in an instant in that room there. And I praise God. I thank you for coming. I think you're there. I think it's very providential that you're here. I really, truly believe that.
Well,
and I thank you for coming.
Praise the Lord. Shall we say that? Let's all praise the Lord. I tell you what, there's a lot of people saying praise the Lord that it's just become an expression. But I'm telling you, when you see the Lord work, then it ceases to be just an idle word. But you see the Lord work, and then you can really say, praise the Lord, and mean every bit of it. And that's for real, and I think we're all in this together. Well, we've given our little testimony here tonight. I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. I could describe battle after battle and what happened and what we've learned. I could tell you about how demons get in, because there's about a half a dozen different ways that they get in. Some of them are born in people, onto the third and the fourth generation. And there's a lot of innocent people walking around that have great handicaps, that they haven't done anything wrong. They're just part of the human family, and the devil moved in on them and has victimized them. We just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that Jesus